And when anyone stands here, they surely do need the prayers of the people that are here. There's a lot of information in these books, but we know too that to preach it and to tell of it, we need the Spirit of God to be with us. I'm going to speak on a subject that's pretty dear to me, and that should be to all of us, and that is tithing. And the definition of tithing in the dictionary says a tenth part of one's annual income, either of kind, and this might mean cows, sheep, or wheat, or what, or money. And I I think that most of us are aware of this meaning. I want to go over into Hebrews and read a little bit. In the seventh chapter, beginning with the first verse, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted the king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem and the king of peace, without father, without mother, and without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of a priesthood, have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren though they come out of the loins of Abraham." Now here, it kind of tells us what tithe is, the tenth part there. And I want to go back over here now to Alma, and it tells the same story. But it's not uncommon to find in the Nephite record the same as we might find in the Bible. And here now I'm in the 10th chapter. "And now, my brethren, I would that ye should humble yourselves before God, and bring forth meat for repentance, that ye may enter into that rest. Yea, humble yourselves, as the people in the days of Melchizedek, who was also a high priest, after the same order which I have spoken, whom also took upon him the high priesthood forever. And it is this same Melchizedek to whom Abraham paid tithes, yea, even our father Abraham paid tithes of one-tenth part of all that he possessed." Proving pretty well that Alma knew of tithing and knew the importance of it. Now I want to go over into Genesis now for a few verses. I want to begin in the 14th chapter of Genesis. And this more or less is what I've read so far here, about the same thing but just in another place, again showing that oftentimes we find these things in many places. I think this is so that we are sure that we understand them and know that they're here. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And now I want to go over into the 28th chapter of Genesis. And here it's Jacob. And if we will recall, he had left home, and he was sleeping this night, and he's seen this ladder going into heaven and so on, and angels going up and down. And he had spent the night there. Well, I want to start in the 28th chapter. I'm going down at the 20th verse, because I think that's where what we need will start. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, I will get and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This is quite a pledge, isn't it? He was going to give a tenth. And these verses I've read here all took place before the law of Moses. And the rest of these references will be either during the law of Moses or after it. And we find evidence of it during the law of Moses, but we find some of it afterwards also. I want to go to Proverbs 3. I believe I'll go back and begin with the 7th verse. It's a few verses down that I really want. Leave number 7 here. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Indicating here that the first fruits of our increase should go to the Lord. And now I want to go over to Leviticus. In the last chapter of Leviticus, in the 27th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse. And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if any man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto a fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He goes on to tell in the next verse there that you're not to sort out the bad ones and run them through one at a time and count them, but just as they come, whatever it is that the tenth one is the Lord's. Now I want to go over, still this one here is under the law of Moses, but I want to go over to Malachi. And I think that this is probably one of the most powerful chapters in the Scripture. It's the 3rd chapter. I'm going to begin down about the 5th verse, I think, and read on a ways. And I will come near you, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinance. Now, this is a long time. Even from the days of their fathers, gone away from my ordinance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now he's going to tell them. Will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. That's pretty tough on those people, isn't it? For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now it tells what should be done. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. That's quite a statement by him. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be no, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I don't believe if you go out there and just start paying your tithing and don't do the rest of the things that goes with it, that you're going to be blessed. Just paying the bill doesn't do it. We have got to keep the commandments. And here it tells us that we must pay our tithing. But keeping the commandments and then paying our tithing. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call ye blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, some people, if they did not have the Nephite record, would say, well, that's referring to the Old Testament. That doesn't refer to now. Well, we have a little story to tell them. I want to go over into the third chapter, or third Nephi, and begin with the 11th chapter. And here it starts to tell. And this isn't Peter, James, or John, or it isn't Isaiah or someone speaking. This is Christ. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one, which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. They're supposed to teach all of these things. And it came to pass that he commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which he should tell unto them. We just read that little story, didn't we? I'm going to read just a little of it here and pick up a few verses. I'm going to read here for a couple of verses and then skip on down. And these are the words which he did tell unto them, saying, thus saith the Father unto Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall surely come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you did delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. Now, if we would read the fourth part of that third chapter of Malachi, this is what it would say. But I'm going to drop on down here. Now, if you would like to just turn back to Malachi in the third chapter and beginning at the sixth verse, or we will read at the ninth verse in the 11th chapter of Nephi. And it's going to read exactly the same. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The same words exactly. But we have this record here and know that it's just as good today as it was when it was written back in the Old Testament. I'm going to drop down here and read from the 22nd verse here, a couple of verses. This whole chapter, a person ought to read it every now and then because it's so enlightening, both in Malachi and here, and the related things round about it. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as the oven, and all the proud, yea, all those that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But now here is always the promise, isn't it? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of God, shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Now, I'm sure Harvey could tell you what a calf would be like that grows up in a stall. It's going to be protected and cared for. It's not one that might be scrounging around on the mountainside for blades of grass and so on. It says here that they'd grow up like calves in the stall. They'd be cared for. Quite a promise, isn't it? And some people, you know, we might say, how can I pay a tenth of my income for tithing? And it's quite a thing, isn't it? Well, there's several things that happen from time to time when people are paying their tithing. I remember Mother relating this story to me, and we lived over at Palisade, and we weren't destitute, but we sure didn't have any money. We was never hungry. There was often times we didn't have a whole lot of variety, but we was never hungry. But we went without quite a few things. And I remember Mother relating this to me, that she had a couple of dollars saved back to go to the church, which she sent periodically in tithing. But she was totally out of aprons. Now, you women that work in the kitchen know that if you're out of aprons and it's canning time, you're in kind of a big hurt. Well, she thought that she'd buy a little material and go take a little of that tithing money and buy a little material to make herself a couple of aprons. But she kept putting it off, but one day, all of a sudden, in the mail, this little package came. It was from Aunt Lucy. Some of you know her. And it was three aprons. Did God send them? No, Aunt Lucy sent them. That's where they came from. But I'm sure that everyone in this room knows what happened. The Lord works in a mysterious way oftentimes. And even prior to that, though, one time we was living over here near the Orchard Mesa community house, south of it there, about two or three houses. And again, we weren't very prosperous. This was in probably the fall of 31. And I expect Harvey can tell you the times were a little hard then, and Alvina, and likely Marvin and Alice and Shirley can remember that, but we're probably the only people here. Well, Leslie can probably remember it a little bit, maybe. But most people can't remember back that far, 1931. But Dad was working for a fellow named Henry Knutson, and naturally he wasn't an Irishman. But he was an old Swede, and he had bought a nice coat. And he came over there, and Dad was admiring it, and Henry said, "Well, you should buy one of these." And Dad says, "I can't, I don't have any money." And he told him, he says, "You fill out the order, and I'll send it to Sears and Roebuck, and we'll get you the coat. And if your wife needs something for her and the children, have her get them too, and you can pay me a little bit back at a time." Well, Mom had known that she needed something for us kids, some clothing, which we couldn't afford. But by this old Swede, and I'll guarantee you this wasn't his nature, offering to write a check for whatever she needed and send it to Sears and Roebuck so that we could get a few clothes. I don't know if it was a miracle, but Mother had figured just before that she would have to take a little of her tithing and send and get some clothes for us kids. You know, $2.50, then we'd buy something. It wouldn't hardly pay the postage today. But $2.50 or whatever it was she was going to get for us kids, she wasn't going to be able to buy Daddy coat. She knew that. But he said that they could pay him back a little at a time. Incidentally, this old Speed, it was his brother that was president of Sears and Roebuck at that time. And he helped set him up in business. He owned the land where I live now, where Harold Ford lives, and about four more places on over there at that time. However, I don't believe he owned this at that particular time. He bought it later on. But why should he be generous? I don't know. Yeah, I really do too. We know why it was. But she, Mother, sent that little dab of tithing in, not very much. And how many of you got the hand of fellowship this month? I suppose most of you did. Did you read the story in there? I'm sure it was Donna Mosier that had wrote the little story on tithing. She seen this beautiful blue blouse or turquoise, whatever it was. It was a gorgeous thing. And it must have been in Sedona, because that's apparently where they're living. And she walked by it, and she was going to buy it. She wanted it very badly. But to buy it, she had to take some of her tithing. She was making a little bit of money working someplace, and she had money enough to buy it. But to do that, she had to cheat on her tithing. But she said as she walked by the store, some reason she didn't do it. I won't get the story exactly right, but she didn't do it. She didn't go ahead and get that little dab of tithing money and put with her other money and go buy it. And she said she made a daily pilgrimage back there to look at the beautiful blouse. Then finally the day came when she could get it. She went down and it wasn't in the window. It was gone. But she went through the door and asked the clerk about it. And she looked through the pump and said, "Oh, well, it's back here on the sale rack." You think that maybe the Lord looks after us in a strange and mysterious way? That wasn't very much, was it? Maybe a dollar, maybe 75 cents, maybe $2. Probably wasn't very much. But the Lord done his work, didn't he? And I visited with Richard Wheaton here a while back, and he said there was times when his mother got an allowance from the church of $2.50 in a month. And she took 25 cents back of it over there and gave it to the church. Because that was her tithe. I don't know how many people would do that. But Richard also told me that he remembered going down, his mother sent him down to the coal bin to sweep up the slack and the dust off the floor for their fire. And he said, you know, that never ran out. How could that happen? How could it never run out? Well, we can go into the scripture, we know. We don't have to be told, we know what happens. And Richard has told me this, and Sister Wheaton has told me this, that they were poor beyond even imagination. And at one time she prepared the evening meal for Dave. Well, she prepared the meal. And set the bowls out for the children to eat. And she walked off and left. There wasn't enough for her. The children had ate. She came back and she asked them if they'd ate. And she said, they said they had. The kettle was still had stew or soup or whatever was in there. And again, this isn't unusual to the Lord. It would be unusual to the world. How many of us have seen that? I'll tell you that each one of us have seen similar things. Maybe not just like that, but similar. And it hasn't been by luck and per chance. And I think that each one of you here can tell of times when something like this has either happened to you or to someone you know or someone you love. But the hand of the Lord is there to help us whenever we're reaching for it. But we've also got to help it. And some I've heard say, I don't like the way they're spending my tithing, so I'm not going to send them any money. Has anyone heard that? I've heard it a time or two. I don't know whether Leslie has heard it, but he knows it's been said. And I'd like to draw a little parallel. If you took your car into the garage to have it repaired, and here you was having them repair it, and you're watching the man work, and you've seen the owner of the garage walk over to a store and pick up a six-pack of beer, a handful of cigars, and a girly magazine, and pay for them, and come back to his office, would you pay for the car? I'll tell you that you won't get it out of the garage if you don't. Even though you may not like what's going on, it is a just and due bill. So you pay for the car. I want to read a little out of Matthew here in the 23rd chapter. I'm going to read just one verse here, the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, this is Christ talking. This isn't somebody else. He calls them hypocrites. Now, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Now, those are very small things. They pay tithe of all these. and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. Now, all of these are important, aren't they? But he says, these you ought to have done, and not to leave the others undone. All of them go together. But because they were doing half of them, they were hypocrites. It's pretty tough on them, doesn't it? I want to go over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. And this is a time of Christ sending his disciples out. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we know he's talking to them for this particular time, because later on he sent them every place. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And to whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire whom in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. But it says a workman is worthy of his hire, or worthy of his meat, it says here. I'm pardoning. Probably indicating that they should care for them while they're there. Now, I'm sure that most of us here have had ministry come and stay with us. And as they got ready to leave, we helped them on their way, maybe by filling their car with gasoline and so on, and giving them maybe a few dollars. I remember here, it was in the 50s sometime, and Brother Wheaton had come to town in his old car on a wing and a prayer. And you know, those old Chevys didn't have any wings. They just, it was prayers, was all it was. Anyway, it arrived here, and Dave told him to take it in and have it tuned up, and he would pay for it. Well, this was in the 50s now, mind you, and it cost nearly $90. You could put in there buy a car, use a car for $90 that year. That would be like $400 or $500 today to have that car repaired. But Dave had it done, and Brother Wheaton got on his way in a few days after staying here and preaching to us for a considerable time. And each time at considerable length, incidentally. But Dave took his money and paid for that. Well, somebody had to help him along. Oh, he could have walked. He could have, these guys were going barefoot. I don't think that I want to go barefoot. I don't even want to walk very far anymore. And I remember Don McIndoe telling me that when he got ready to go to Mexico, I think he had a 48 Chevy. Some people here might remember. Do you remember, Charlotte, when the 48 Chevy he went to Mexico in the first time? And he told me that Dad bought him four tires and put on it. And I got an idea that Dad gave him a little bit of money to go on too. And I have been over here when some minister was here, and sometimes I'd get up a little early in the morning when I knew they was leaving and go over and tell them goodbye. Because most of the time in those days they stayed over at the folks' place. This has been 1950, 49, long in there, and 51, 56, long in there, 60. And I would see Dad out there. He had a gas barrel out there, and he was filling the car up. And I'm sure he always gave him a little money to help him on the way. And I think that this is a good idea. And I'm sure that each one here has done very similar things. Sometimes the ministers were helped in the olden days and in times now by individuals and by locals. We remember Paul. He was a tent maker. And we know he went to this town and lived with somebody and helped make some tents. He worked at their trade. But he was living with these people at the same time. But he worked there making a few tents and helping the people out. And I recall, too, when, I'm guessing this must have been back about 1931, maybe, somewhere along in there. Brother Wheaton came out here, and he'd been for a time down here, and he stayed for a time up at Delta. He stayed with Aunt Fern and Uncle Oliver. While he was there, he preached every night, or every time he got a chance. During the day, he built him a garage, because he was a carpenter. So he wasn't sitting around all the time, but he helped him out somewhat. And I imagine that when he left, they helped him somewhat. I believe then that he was driving a Model T Ford. And I expect it was in about the same repair as his old Chevy was when he arrived here. But it didn't take as many parts to repair then. But he did help while he was there. But some people have said that let the minister provide their own way. And I sure hope that anybody that has said this has proved their sincerity by going out and doing this themselves, providing their own way, and going out for months at a time and preaching the gospel. I wonder how many of us would pack up today and go on a mission. Go down to talk to the Hopi Indians for 4 months or 4 years, or any of the other Nephite people. I wonder how many of us would really do it. Just pack up and go and leave our families. Be pretty scary, wouldn't it? I've heard a lot of stories of our ministry doing these things. I don't think that I would have been strong enough to have done it. I hope if God would tell me now that I would. But I don't know whether I would or not. I hope that I would. We know that as Christ walked along the seashore, he told those fellows that fishing, he said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And they packed up their stuff and walked off and followed him. That took a lot of faith. I wonder how many of us, if we were told to go to preach to the people in Mexico, could go down there and support ourselves for 6 months or 6 years, could literally walk away without help from the outside. It'd be pretty tough. I want to read a little bit out of Timothy. Second Timothy, I guess it is, and in the first chapter, and here Paul is doing the talking. And the Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Now this is in the first chapter of Timothy and the 16th verse. For he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. And when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. It looks like here that somebody was helping Paul out a little, don't it? And thank goodness they did. And I think we'll find other places similar to this where the same thing might have happened. Over here in Philippians, in the fourth chapter, I'm going to begin with the 10th verse. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now and at the last your care come of me. Let's see, maybe ever so. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Apparently they had helped him, but then for a while they hadn't, and now they was able to do it again. And I don't know the conditions because I haven't searched it out that far. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Even if he's hungry or full, be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which sustaineth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, the church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonia, ye sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, I guess it is, Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Would you say that what was done there was pleasing before God? Paul seemed to think it was, and I guess Paul was probably right. But here they had assisted him as he needed it. In 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, and in the 7th, beginning in the 7th verse, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye may be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, I don't believe that he went over there and robbed these churches, but I believe that they must have sent him money or gave money to him that he might abound there and care for their needs. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which come from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Sounded like he might have kind of been getting on them a little bit there. But he wasn't a burden to them. The other people cared for him. And helped out as was needed. I want to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians in the 16th chapter. Beginning at the first verse. And now he's telling here just a few things. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galilee, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there may be no gathering when I come. In other words, take up the collection before I get there. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty unto Jerusalem. Showing here that they must have taken up a little collection. But it's very important that we keep the commandments as given. Here in the Book of Mormon it says that we should pay our tithing. And if we do so, we would be blessed. Now I wonder how many people here has been blessed for some reason beyond what they could understand. I know Shirley mentioned it today that there was times when we prepared to buy something and for some reason we were detained and we got there, it was less money. Did the Lord do it for us? I don't know. I can't believe that. This happens to everyone now and then. But I'll bet that almost everyone can tell of a time when the Lord blessed them and caused things to happen to them that was beyond any explanation. And we don't know how many times when we don't have the slightest idea. How many times do you suppose we could be driving down the road and miss a broken bottle by that far? Maybe the Lord caused us to pull to the left 3 inches. Saved us a tire of $100. The Lord can bless us in so many ways. But the important thing is that we keep the commandments in whatever way they might be, that the Lord can see fit to grant unto us the blessings that we need from day to day. That's my prayer, that we might do this.
At 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, we'll have a scripture study. Turn to number 245. Let's stand for a second.
Thank you.
Our God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this meeting, thanking Thee once more for this privilege we have to meet together to worship Thee. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go from here to our homes and abiding places, that Thou would cause Thy Spirit to go with us, to guide and direct us, and help us to do those things that we pity in Thy sight. For if we have erred, Heavenly Father, we do ask for Thy forgiveness. We would pray for all of Thy people, wherever they may be found striving to do Thy will. We ask that Thou lead them in the path of truth and righteousness. Guide and direct us in all of our doings. We do pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
I didn't know which question to put on that.